Hello, 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 beloved listeners. This is Kenneth Lesser with Advanced Living Radio. Happy new day to you and a wonderful, wonderful wish for you to have some dreams come true in a special way. You know, as a regular listener, or if you're a new listener, get ready. Each and every time you're listening in, we're going to bring you something that's going to make your life easier, better, healthier, more productive, more fun. Absolutely, that's my commitment. I've been doing this type of work for 20 years. If you visit advancedliving.com, my website, you'll see lots of goodies. You can see information about my background and my commitment to doing this. One of the things that I'm so privileged to do is to meet people like our guest today, Bruce Music, and Bruce is an amazing, amazing human being who right now is in London, England. And Bruce is the founder of Designer Life, and Bruce is an internationally acclaimed speaker, master communicator, success trainer, and an expert in how to use the human mind to bring about desirable circumstances in your life, or just as many of us would say, just to make our lives better, more productive, more prosperous. And he approaches his craft uniquely by blending leading-edge quantum physics with practical spirituality, providing real-world success for his students. And he's got people around the globe. Bruce has owned and run a successful recording studio business, written a number one hit song, and trained with some of the greatest minds in personal development world, including Mark Victor Hansen, Dr. Tony Quinn, Robert Allen, T. Carv Ecker, and many, many more. So without further ado, I can't wait to have you share some time with Mr. Bruce Music. Bruce, hello.
Hi, Ken, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm blushing. Thank you.
It's not often that we can get an individual with your diverse background of success in the music industry, as well as having spent time with some of the top professionals on the planet in personal growth and development. I mean, this is an impressive thing. And now here you are, just like a wonderful sound engineer, mixing all the instruments and all the vocals into a beautiful program I believe, what do you call that, Designer Life?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about my background and a bit of the history and how Designer Life came about, if that's okay.
I want to learn more about your background, so please tell us.
Great, thank you. So I spent the first probably 25 years of my life as a musician. And my passion has always been music. I was a guitarist and ended up running a recording studio and ultimately writing a number one hit song. And having written the number one hit song, I kind of got as far as I ever wanted to go in the music industry, and I wondered if possibly there was an opportunity for me to do something else with my life. And so for so many years of my life, I'd introduced myself, hi, I'm Bruce, I'm a musician. And I came to a realization that, in fact, I wasn't my job, that I was Bruce, and I could be whoever I chose to be. And one of my lifelong interests, Ken, has always been the human mind, how it works, and in particular, how to use it to attract desirable circumstances into one's life, or as you said earlier, just generally cool stuff into your life. And I've had a lot of success with manifesting and using the law of attraction. And I decided, after I'd got the number one hit, that what I really wanted to do was to help people create really massive change in their life and start to bring about the kind of success that I was experiencing in my own life into their life. And so now what I do is I own a company called Designer Life. And what we're committed to doing for people is helping people create cutting-edge programs for people, helping them to live the good life, which could be different for everybody and is unique for everybody. But we draw from state-of-the-art physics and teach a step-by-step approach of how to use your mind to start to attract desirable circumstances into your life, and then how to step into your natural flow of life. And I'm sure I'm going to talk more about that later on in the evening. Well, it's 8 o'clock in the evening over here. It's probably morning your time, right?
Yeah, we're at noontime on the west coast of the U.S. here. We're bridging time and space here.
Isn't technology wonderful? Absolutely.
Oh, yes. And
so that's a little bit about you know, where I've come from. I've been doing this for many, many years now. And one of my passions, one of my lifelong goals is transforming the mindsets of people around the planet so that they can start to live the kind of life that they deserve to live or that they dream of living.
Yes. Now, you had made a statement that I think is so important about what differentiates your work from so many other people, and help me out here a little bit, because it had something to do with misinformation that we've received about the difficulty that there is in getting things in life and using the power of our mind appropriately. You're telling us that it doesn't have to be that hard or something?
Well, I don't believe at all it has to. One of the things, if you think about it, we're a part of nature, right? Human beings are a part of nature. And if you look at nature, nothing in nature really struggles, Ken. In fact, I'm looking into my back garden now as the sun sets, and I can see there's this tiny little blade of grass that's growing out through my concrete patio out here. Now, I'm sure the little blade of grass that managed to make itself through this concrete, probably took a couple of years, didn't struggle to do it. Nature seems to work effortlessly. If you think about when the wind blows, the trees don't resist the wind and then get uprooted. The trees flex and blow and move with the wind, just naturally and gracefully. However, human beings somehow got the idea that we had to work hard and struggle in order to succeed. And I think this has been a disease, if you will, a mindset, and a very dangerous mindset that we've a lot of us have inherited as we were growing up. I know my father certainly told me that I had to work hard to succeed, and that money doesn't grow on trees, and life isn't easy, and those kind of things. And we've all heard those kind of things along the way. And as we're growing up as children, if we get influenced by our parents, and we certainly do, they're our main influences as children, we hear these things over and over and over, they start to create our reality or create our worldview, the way that we see the world. And for so many people in the world today, Ken, they're going through life struggling to really get what they want because, in a sense, they're resisting their natural flow. So I'm a believer and a great teacher of how to find your natural flow and start to bend and flex like the trees do rather than resist. And one of my favorite images, I don't know if you remember the movie The Matrix, Ken. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yes.
There's this great scene in the movie where Neo, the hero, gets fired at, and he dodges these bullets, and he almost just flexes over backwards as he leans back, and these bullets just kind of skim past his body and miss him. And if you see the movie, you'll know the image I'm talking about, and that's kind of how I would imagine a metaphor would be for living an effortless life, living a life where you're going your natural flow, and you're living according to the natural rules of nature and the universe. So rather than resisting and struggling and paddling upstream, if you will, you're ending up paddling downstream and going with your natural flow.
Now that's so important. And one of the things that's interesting that perhaps you can share with your listeners, in addition to writing a number one hit song, which is a powerful achievement, and running a recording studio, you spent some time in South Africa, and I understand that 6 months you were the only white guy in a South African township. I'd like to know a little bit about that and how that might have impacted your life, and what can you share, please, Bruce?
Sure, Ken. I mean, so I should have said earlier, I am actually South African. I was born in South Africa, currently living in London. I was born in Cape Town. And South Africa, wow, we've had a really unique history. For those listeners who are not really familiar with our history, we had many years of apartheid regime, which is really a regime where the black people were repressed, the black Africans were repressed, and the white people ruled. And I remember when I was growing up, I would go down to the beachfront, and there'd be a big barbed wire fence down the middle of the beach, and on one side, where the beautiful white sand was, the white people were allowed to sunbathe, and on the other side, where it was rocky and there was lots of seaweed and kelp, was for the black people, and it was very, very small, and they were crowded in there. And when I caught a bus to school as a child, I remember there were buses for white people and buses for black people, and I'm sure very much like the segregation that there was in the United States way back in the day. And I did a personal development seminar at one point, Ken, and discovered something about myself I really didn't like. I discovered that I was pretending to be this liberal new South African, because when South Africa came out of apartheid in 1994, we created the most liberal constitution in the world. And here I was going around pretending that I was this new South African, but in fact I had no black friends. And this troubled me, because I realized I was being a hypocrite. And in fact, you could have called me a racist at the time. I didn't think I was a racist, but if somebody from the outside, like if an alien had landed on planet Earth and looked at my life, they would have seen, well, you know, there's about 40 million black people in South Africa, and Bruce isn't friends with any of them. So therefore, we could conclude that Bruce is probably a racist. And having made this profound discovery in my life, I didn't like it, and I decided I was going to do something about it. And I went and moved into an African township in an attempt to overcome my fear of black African people. And a township is very much it's like a shanty town. It's where the very, very poor black Africans live in South Africa, and they live in tin shacks. And for me, again, this was probably the scariest moment of my life, moving into this township, and probably the biggest thing and most impactful thing I'd ever done up until that point. And I remember distinctly pulling up in my pickup truck with all my boxes and all my belongings on the back of the pickup truck to move into a house that I had rented in one of the worst areas of this township. And I committed to myself I was going to go there for a month and experience living in this community. And I got out of the car with my father, and the two of us kind of looked at each other, terrified that something bad was going to happen, because you must understand, in South Africa, as a white South African, we were brought up to fear black people. Black people were the people who were going to rob us, who were going to mug us, who were going to rape us. And as I got out of my car, as the only white man surrounded in 4 miles by only black people, and probably there must have been a couple of 100,000 people living in that particular township that I lived in called Guguletu. As I got out of the car, within a matter of a minute, there must have been 25 people that stood around the car and were just staring at me. And I was trembling at the knees. I tell you, I was absolutely terrified. I thought I was going to get mugged or killed or something awful was going to happen. And a wonderful woman approached me, and she said, what are you doing here? Because they couldn't understand what the hell was a white guy doing living, you know, moving into this house. they were really confused. I mean, at the time, I thought, you know, I was terrified. But I said to her, well, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm terrified of black African people, and I've come here to overcome my fear, and I've come to live amongst you and get to know you and experience your community for a month. And she was dumbstruck, and she translated this into Xhosa, which is the local African language. And the 25 faces that were staring at me, just kind of their jaws dropped in sheer amazement as they struggled to comprehend that there was a white man moving into their area. Anyway, I'll cut a long story short. I was welcomed like a long-lost brother, and I ended up living there for 6 months because I couldn't bear to leave. I was having such an incredible time, and I learned so many lessons about humility and living in community and the joys of loving one's neighbor. And something, what was really profound about my experience living in this township, Ken, was every day people came up to me and asked me for money. Being white and owning a car and running a business, they assumed I was a multimillionaire, and compared to them, I probably was, because these people were unemployed and literally were living off cents every day. And they would come and ask me for money, and for the first week, I decided I would give people money, and I felt like that was okay. And by the end of the week, news had spread very quickly that Bruce the bank had just moved into town.
Oh, my God.
To get out of hand. And so I made a choice that I wasn't going to give anybody money because most of them were just spending it at the local bar getting drunk or buying drugs because there was a very high level of drug use in the area. But I could not give them anything. I just felt like that was awful. So I thought to myself, what could I provide to these people that would benefit them and make a difference? And I thought, well, I've had great experience running a business. I'm a good businessman. I'll teach people how they can earn their own money. So every time somebody came up to me and said, boss, please can I have some money? And boss means boss. Part of the apartheid programming was that the black people were programmed to call the white people boss. That was how they kind of related to us.
And
they'd say, boss, please can I have some money? And I'd say, listen, I'm not going to give you any money because it's not going to make any massive permanent change in your life. You know, it may help you out now. But what I'd rather do is, if you're interested, why don't you come back into my house and I will teach you how you could start a business and make your own money. And Ken, I must have said that to about 300 people over the 6 months that I lived in this African township. And you know how many people took me up on my offer?
How many?
Only one. Just one.
Just
and
one?
I couldn't believe it. I'll tell you why in a moment, or what I've figured out so far.
Sure.
I couldn't. This really depressed me because I felt like I wasn't able to make a difference. And when I moved out 6 months later, it suddenly dawned on me that the reason these people were not taking me up on their offer was not because they didn't want money or didn't want to learn about how to make money. It was because they had been programmed or conditioned by the apartheid regime that they were third-class citizens and white people were first-class citizens. They'd always seen white people having all the money, and the African people around them were always broken, poor, and stealing. And they just really didn't believe in their minds that it was possible for themselves to become wealthy, to own a business, and to make their own money. That was such a foreign concept that, of course, it wasn't in line with their self-image to take the kind of actions to ask me for help. And this profoundly moved me, and I realized it was a huge opportunity for me to make a difference to these people. And I've taken it on as my personal mission to transform the mindsets of the South African culture and empower black African people to that they can have everything that they want. And that's not limited just to South Africa. I travel the world doing this now. But that's really my passion, is teaching people how to create the mental attitude and use their minds effectively to start to overcome the barriers of fear and attract the kind of circumstances they want into their life, and actually just take some real-world action to get some results. Does that make sense?
Sure. And I think what's so powerful about what you're sharing is many of us, myself, and I'm sure so many of my listeners, have gotten in our lives lots of good advice, and advice from people that knew what they were sharing, and advice that if we'd have implemented it, would have helped us. And yet I know myself, I have just shunned that and turned it aside and ignored it. And here you're telling this powerful story about your 6 months there and how only one out of 300 people was able to break through this.
And he went on to be very successful in the end, actually, Ken. That was interesting about it. His mindset was such that it could support him being successful. And he went on to use the information we taught him to start a computer business. And as far as I understand, he's still running it today, interestingly enough.
And so now you've translated that. Is that a little bit of what you put together into Designer Life?
Yeah, exactly. I've taken what I've learned over the last 10 years of studying the mind and what I've learned about quantum physics, which we may touch on later, and I've put it into the Designer Life workshop, which is my flagship workshop that I offer, the two-day program. And let me just back up a bit and talk a bit about the mind and explain kind of a little bit about how the mind works and why it is we're conditioned like this. So
sure.
The people who come to my workshops are generally, and like most of us in life, looking to produce some kind of result, some kind of new result, better result, improved result, different results, some kind of results. And the results might be they want to, you know, accomplish a particular thing in their business. They want to earn more money. They want to attract their life partner. They perhaps want to find their life path. Perhaps they want to attract a new car into their life. Perhaps they want to raise. Perhaps they want to transform their body and lose weight and find the ideal weight. Whatever the result is, what drives us to get the results that we've gotten are always our actions. So if you take one step back from the results and start to look, what's at the source of our results? It's always our actions. We take an action, and those actions then produce the results that we've got in our life. And for so many of the personal development books out there and the business books and the advice that people are giving to people is, well, then logically change your actions and you'll get different results. But I don't know if you've noticed, I certainly have in my life, when I start to change the actions, very often I get new results for a week or two, and then my results go straight back to what they were before, and they end up returning to normal. And you see this in yo-yo dieting. People change their actions, they go on a diet, and they lose some weight, and before long, they're back up to their old weight again. Or perhaps, perhaps they get a windfall of money, Ken, you hear this with lottery winners. The American lottery statistics go that 50% of all lottery winners in the States are broke within 2 years. I mean, that's an incredible statistic. It sounds preposterous, but it's true. And what this is they take the action, they change the action, they get more money, but of course their mindset hasn't changed. So the source of the actions hasn't shifted. So if we look at, well, what's the source of people's actions, it really is their mindset or their mental programming. And why I use the word programming, it comes from NLP, which is a study of the mind that stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And NLP looks at the mind like it's a computer. Like the human brain is like this one giant computer, and this computer can run programs, a bit like your PC or your Apple Mac will run programs. And these programs fall into pretty much two categories. First category is programs that do functions in our body, like beat our heart or remind us to breathe. You know, imagine we had to remind ourselves to breathe every second. We'd all be dead before long.
Oh, exactly.
Especially me being as forgetful as I am. Or imagine we had to beat our own heart every second. So these programs are good. And these are called, I've just gone completely blank, but these are nervous system programs.
Oh, you're talking about autonomic nervous system or something?
That's right, nervous system programs, the programs that control our nervous system. Now, the other type of program we have are thought process programs or mental programs, and these are really our belief structures. And our belief structures give us our thoughts. Our thoughts then give us our actions, and our actions produce our results. So if you think about it, if we're tweaking our actions all the time expecting a new result, we're never going to get one because we haven't dealt with the source of the result, which is really the program or the mindset that delivers the thought that has us take the action. So what I chose to do was I was going to help people produce permanent change in their life. I couldn't just be telling them to tweak the actions. We had to deal with the roots of the tree, so to speak, or the roots of the issue, which is their mental programming or belief systems. So what we do in the Design Life workshop is we spend a lot of time looking and uncovering people's beliefs about life, people's beliefs about money, people's beliefs about their body, themselves, their intelligence, their ability to succeed. And we dig up the roots and start to pull out the weeds and replace them with new seeds in their mind, or new programs, to extend the metaphor, of things that they want in their life. So that's really become my life's work. And then once they've got the mental skills and we've taught them how to use their mind, they can start to attract the kind of experiences that they want into their life. You know, after the movie The Secret was released, the law of attraction became the rage all around the world. And a lot of people are going around talking about The Secret and the law of attraction. And when these people come to my seminar, I usually kind of say to my audience, So how many of you heard of the Law of Attraction? They all stick their hands in the air. And how many of you loved the movie The Secret? And they all stick their hands in the air. And then I asked them, how many of you are now multimillionaires and living the life of your dreams? And I maybe will get one hand in the air out of 200 people in the audience. So what I say to them is, well, you know, if The Secret really worked, you guys wouldn't be here in the seminar, would you? You'd all be on an island in somewhere in Hawaii in a hammock, right?
Yes.
But there's obviously something blocking people. Did you have a question?
And now, your website, okay to send people to your website?
Please do, absolutely. It's www.designer-life.com. Designer-life.com.
Okay, so in other words, what you've done is you're helping to bridge this gap between getting good advice or seeing something that's working for other people, and yet somehow myself, so many people, we know we could be more effective, more prosperous, but something has been missing. And now you're talking about this, the power of the mind, and I'm curious, I mean, they say it can be so hard to break. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's hard to change habits. But I'm wondering, how long does it take to change one's mental programming?
Well, you know, it can take anywhere from a split second to years, depending on the environment that the person's in and B, their willingness to transform, their real desire to transform. If you think about a lot of our mental programming was created in an instant, usually in a split second, and usually at a moment of high emotion in our lives. Now, I'll give an example from my own life. I was about 11 years old, and I was at a friend of mine's birthday party. And even at 11, they had this disco, and I was dancing, and at the tender age of 11, I thought I was the coolest guy on the dance floor trying to chat up all the girls. And I was dancing away, and my younger brother, who was 9 at the time, he came up to me and he whispered into my ear, he says, "Bruce, you look like such an idiot dancing on the dance floor." And of course, I was crushed at the time. My heart was just like crumpled and my shoulders slumped, and I kind of sneaked off the dance floor completely humiliated, thinking I must have been making such a fool out of myself, and vowed that I would never dance again because I was a terrible dancer. And in that moment, I created a program called I Can't Dance. And it happened in a split second, and I was surrounded with huge, high intensity of emotion. And for 11 years after that, Ken, I did not go on a dance floor. For 11 years, whenever I was invited out, whenever I was in a nightclub or at a disco, I would be the guy standing with my back to the wall, arms folded, watching everybody else, kind of wishing I had the guts to go out there and do it, but just not being able. And once I had identified this as a program, and I traced it back to its source, where it happened, and pulled out the roots, so to speak, and really identified that it wasn't that I couldn't dance. It was just that I'd made up a belief or a program in that moment and believed it to be true that I couldn't dance. Then I allowed myself to be able to dance again, and it was really in a matter of a split second I had this incredible realization that, oh my gosh, I could dance. My brother said this thing, and I made up this program in that instant. And the minute I diffused it in my mind like that, I thought, well, let's go out there and give it a go. And I started dancing, and I discovered my natural passion for dancing, and I've been dancing ever since. Now, what I wanted to point out, Ken, because your question was about how long it takes to create a program, was that program was created in a split second. The minute my brother said to me, "Bruce, you look like an idiot when you dance," in that instant, I created that program called I Can't Dance. And it lasted for 11 years. But when I actually transformed it, it took another split second just to transform it. It was just a cognitive realization. And so what I give people the opportunity to do is to start to look at their lives, look at their programming, and unravel it. And I usually find once they get to the source, they can transform it in an instant when they realize how ridiculous their programming it is, or when we provide them with enough evidence so they can logically see, wow, that makes absolutely no sense. Of course I can dance, to use my example again.
Sure. Mm. Wow. So two moments in time were transformational, one kind of taking you away from something you wanted, and the other returning you to that.
Exactly, and what they both had in, what the first one had in common, Ken, was that, and what most of our when we have these experiences where we create our programs, they're always surrounded by high emotion. So, for example, when my brother said that to me, I was crushed. But for other people, maybe that, you know, they were abused as a child. And in that moment, there was high emotion. They made up a decision about themselves and their lives. Now, knowing what we know about how the mind stores programs when there's high emotion involved and it stores it really effectively, we can use this information. This is a very valuable piece. We can use this information to help us reprogram our minds with the kind of programs that would be beneficial to us and have us then start to take the kind of actions that we want to take. So that's one of the things we teach in the seminars. You've got to, when you're creating your new programs, you've got to create high emotion. They've got to excite you. They've got to almost shock the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, that part of your mind that scientists say is the 95% of our mind that most of us never get to access. You have to shock it almost into submission and give it a new program that contains high emotion. And we do a lot of work like that in the seminar where we're creating people, helping people create programs that have high emotion so that we start to reprogram the mind with the kind of beliefs that would be supportive of success along the way.
Wow. Dear listeners, I invite you to go visit www.designer-life.com because Bruce has got marvelous information on there about his seminars, where, and I mean, these are basically being put on in many different places all over the world with his diverse background from London and South Africa and New Zealand and Australia. I'll tell you, you gotta have a global positioning satellite to keep track of Bruce. This guy is everywhere.
You're a funny kid. I like.
Now you made mention of in some of your studies talking about an interest in quantum physics, and for a lot of us, when I was going to school, that's where I fell on my face. So here, you know, kind of getting turned off a little bit to quantum physics, but we're hearing more about it again. Can you explain a little bit about quantum physics, your interest, and how to make use of this stuff?
Sure, Ken. Well, I was also one of those who fell on my face with physics at school, and I never did particularly well in it. But I'm a pretty analytical kind of guy, and I was experiencing what I would call miracles in my life, having learned how to use my mind and spent a good couple of years training myself how to focus intently on what I wanted and attract circumstances into my life that I wanted. And I wanted to understand cognitively how it worked. And I'd heard about this body of theory called quantum theory or quantum physics, and I started to study it, and I was just blown away by what I discovered. And really what quantum physics simply is the study of what makes up matter. And the scientists were trying to figure out what was the smallest thing that made up matter. So if we look at the human body, the human body is made up of cells, and cells are made up of molecules, and molecules are just a collection of atoms. And the one molecule we know very well is H2O, which is two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom, right? And scientists are kind of peeling away the onion layers of matter to try and find the smallest little thing. And they started peeling away the onion layers of the atom, and they discovered these things that they called subatomic particles, protons and electrons and quarks and the such like. You may have heard of these terms being bantered around. And when they tried to discover what these subatomic particles actually consisted of or were made of, they found something very, very fascinating or very interesting. What they discovered was that these subatomic particles weren't actually made up of anything. They were, in fact, just energy. And if you take that back, how we started with a human body and we broke it down to cells, molecules, atoms, and now subatomic particles, which are nothing more or nothing less than just energy, that points to the fact that then the human body is nothing more or less than just energy. And in fact, everything in the world or the universe is just vibrating energy. And in fact, what I point out to the participants in my seminar is that everything that they want is also just energy. So the Ferrari that perhaps they're dreaming of owning one day is just energy. The beautiful girl down the road they'd love to ask out on a date is just energy. The body of their dreams that they'd like to attract or create in their life is just energy. And here's where stuff gets really interesting, and I'm making this overly simplistic for sake of the 25 minutes we have left in the show, otherwise we'd be here for years. But the scientists discovered that this energy responds to human thought and human intention, and that in fact we can actually influence how this energy behaves just by our very thoughts and just by the act of what scientists are calling observation. And I'm not going to go much deeper into it because it would get into a technical discussion that would probably take us a long time, Ken. But what I will say is that the human mind is what interacts with this energy to create the matter in our world. And what I'm saying by this is that we actually create matter. This is a theory that's out there at the moment that, in fact, the telephone that I'm holding right now in my hand is only really a telephone because I believe, and collectively we all believe, that it's a telephone. The chair that you're sitting on at the moment is only a chair because you believe, and we all collectively have agreed, that that is a chair, and so the subatomic particles in that chair form the shape of a chair, and so we have a chair. Now, this is an enormous leap of faith to take because we don't have any real proof that this is the case. This is the theory at the moment. And that a lot of cutting-edge scientists are putting forward. And we're at a stage in science that's super exciting at the moment. It's like when science discovered the world was round and we've been living in a paradigm that the world was flat, well, we're kind of discovering that the world is not outside of us, but in fact we play an interactive role in creating our reality and in actually very much creating the world. Now, here's the problem. Most of us were never trained when we were growing up how to use our minds. When we popped out of the womb, our parents didn't hand us an operating manual for your mind and say, here you go, read this and you'll get off to a good start. Yeah. We were just kind of taught to figure it out. And for most of us, we have such limited use of our mind. I mean, the research shows that on a good day we're using 5% of our minds. There's another 95% that's completely underutilized. And what I'm passionate about doing, and I've created some products to help do this, you'll find on my website if you click on the products link, is helping people, training people how to use their mind effectively, how to focus intently, and then once they've used their mind, is helping people how to use their mind to attract circumstances and to create the kind of reality into their life that they want. And I think the best way to explain this, because it could sound a bit like a New Age hokey pokey, let me just give you an example from my own life of how this may work. In 2005, my wife and I were lying in bed one Saturday morning, and it was a gloomy, rainy London Saturday morning, as it so often is over here. And we were thinking, gosh, we really miss the outdoors and the adventure of living in Africa, and we need to go on an adventure. And Adele, my wife, said to me, honey, please can we go to India? I've always wanted to go to India. That's been one of my lifelong dreams. And I was like, oh, honey, I've always wanted to go and ride down Highway 1 in California on a motorcycle. And please can we go to the States and go to California and ride down Highway 1 on a motorcycle? And we battled this out for about 10 minutes, and eventually we agreed on a win-win situation, which was, why not go on a two-week motorcycle trip to India? And you get the India, and I get the motorbike. And we thought this was a fabulous idea.
Yes.
And we created this win-win situation, and what we did was we spent 45 minutes using the techniques that I teach to plant, if you will, a mental program into both of our minds that we were in India. And we imagined that we would be leaving, and we'd have these two motorcycles on our front drive, and we'd drive down to Dover, catch the ferry over to France, to Calais, and ride over to India. And we had a whole lot of fun doing this, and then the next day, I woke up and I kind of forgot about it, but also because I realized the extent of what I was trying to accomplish. Here I was, I created this huge goal to go to India for 2 weeks on a motorcycle. I was going to have to buy two motorcycles, probably ship them over to India because it would take too long to drive. I was then going to have to plan a route in a country that doesn't speak English. I was going to have to book hotels in a country that doesn't speak English. I was then going to have to do a mechanics course in case the bikes broke down, but then I thought, well, if the bikes break down, where are we going to get the spares from? I'm going to have to have a Jeep driving behind us with spares, and suddenly my great idea of driving through India for 2 weeks turned into this nightmare, and I forgot about it. But having programmed my mind and using the focus that I've learned how to use, I was starting to already attract the circumstances into my life or the opportunities to fulfill on this goal. And 6 weeks later, I was invited by a friend to coffee, and in the middle of our conversation, he said to me, "Oh, by the way, Bruce, I'm doing this amazing thing. You may want to join us. I'm going to India for 2 weeks on a motorcycle tour. Do you want to come?" And my jaw just dropped. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I almost spat out my coffee. I thought, what are the chances of somebody else in the world doing a 2-week motorcycle trip to India? One in a million. And then I thought, what are the chances of someone else in my circle of friends doing a 2-week motorcycle trip to India? And now I was thinking, well, now we're talking a miracle, as I would call it. And it actually turned out there were 150 of us that ended up going to India. And it was a charity event that my friend had signed up for, and you had to raise $15,000 for Indian orphans. And here's the beauty of it. And we were talking about effortless living earlier and going with the flow and finding your natural flow. Having programmed my mind and attracted this opportunity, the next step was to act. And I signed up for this tour. We raised the $15,000. And my wife and I, in February this year, ended up traveling through India for 2 weeks. Here's the beauty. The airplane tickets to India were included in our fundraising. When we arrived there, there were 150 brand-new motorcycles lined up in rows, so about 10 rows of 15 each for us to ride. We had three ambulances that spread out through the 150 riders. We had 15 mechanics. So whenever our bike broke down, a mechanic would pull up next to us, and in an Indian accent, he would say, "Here you go, sir," and he would give us his bike. We'd jump on his bike and carry on riding while he fixed ours, which he would return later on. So we had this effortless trip where we were completely supported, and we attracted the opportunity into our life to fulfill on this. We ended up raising in total between all of us $500,000 for Indian orphans. And what I want to illustrate with the story was that it was effortless, Ken. Had I done my own way and pedaled upstream and bought the two motorcycles, exported them to India, planned the route, it would have been hard work. And it's synonymous to how most people experience living life, that life is hard. But having learned how to use my mind, I just attracted the opportunities to act. And then having acted on them, it turned out to be effortless. So that's my India story. Wow. It's a long way of explaining it to you.
Okay. So there, just that part that you describe in terms of, on your website, beneficial synchronicity. When you're talking, because there it was. You put that program into your mind to achieve a goal. You didn't know specifically how it was going to happen, and there it came. All of the problems that had come up, they were solved because you had a group of 150 riders going with you. What a powerful story of applying these principles. Now, you mean that you could help us do similar things with different goals in our lives?
Anyone can do this, Ken. You've just got to learn how to use your mind. And most of us at school were never taught how to use it. And it's a bit like, if I'm going to give you a key here, something that's really useful to take home, it's about focus. It's about our ability to focus. Studies show that the average human being can focus for about 6 seconds at a time before they're distracted. And if you've ever tried meditating, you probably know how frustrating it can be trying to get rid of those thoughts. Now, Ken, I don't know, Ken, if you ever did this when you were a kid. Did you ever light or burn leaves with a magnifying glass when you were a kid? Set them up?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll remember then that what we were trying to do when we were trying to burn a leaf as a kid, we had a magnifying glass and we were trying to focus the sun's rays through the magnifying glass so that the leaf would burn. And I remember when I was doing this as a kid, the leaf would not burn unless I had put the magnifying glass a particular distance away from the leaf so that the focus of the sun's rays formed a pinprick of almost white-hot heat on the leaf. And even then, once I had this intense focus of the light on the leaf, it didn't burn for about 10 seconds. It started smoldering and smoldering and smoldering, and I had to hold it there intently without moving my hand so I didn't lose the focus for about 10 seconds, and suddenly the leaf just erupted into flames. Now, programming the human mind is a little bit like this. It's almost like branding the brain with a hot poker or with the sun's rays. What you have to do is you've got to focus your mind in such a way for a period of time, for an extended period of time, such that you actually make some kind of impression on your mind. what most people do when they're trying to apply the law of attraction, or they're trying to use the secret, they spend some time visualizing, but because they get distracted every few seconds, they really never have a long enough time to focus on what it is that they want. And if you think about it, if you went to the gym and you worked out every day for 3 months, your body would have to transform, right? It's just it's absolute science. Now, in the same way, if you went into your mind and you pumped mental weights in terms of imagining your goal and attracting what you want into your life, you would start to attract those circumstances. However, because most of us can't focus for longer than 6 seconds, it's like we go to the gym. Now, imagine going to the gym every day for 6 seconds. That wouldn't make any difference, right? You've got to go for at least 20 minutes to half an hour to really get a good enough workup to stretch and work those muscles and make some kind of impact. In the same way, when people are visualizing using their mind, they never give their mental muscles enough time to flex because their focus is so weak and distracted. So what I've done is one of the products you'll see on my site, if you click on the product link, is called The Relaxation for Manifestation. And the tagline is Sit Back, Relax, and Attract. And what this recording is designed to do, you can download it on your computer now after this call, is it's designed to help you focus while you're visualizing. Because really, one of the keys to becoming a powerful attractor is being able to hold a particular thought and focus for a long enough and extended enough period to actually make an impact on your mind and ultimately an impact on the subatomic field that quantum physics talks about, all these electrons, subatomic particles, to start to attract the opportunities you want into your life. What most of us are doing is we're never spending enough time, or we're going into our imagination, we're getting distracted all the time, so we create this weakened goal or this weakened intention that really doesn't have a whole lot of integrity to it, and then we wonder why we're not getting what we want. So that's a little bit about focus and the power of focus, and that's one of the key ingredients to becoming a powerful attractor or a powerful manifester of what you want in your life, is learning to develop your ability to focus.
And so we can download the CD from your website and then use it. Now, how long a program is this?
It's a 25-minute program that you listen to daily for about a month. And you wouldn't just listen to it straight off. There's a whole lot of work you'd need to do beforehand. Probably take you about 45 minutes. You'd really choose a goal. Make sure there's high emotional intensity in there, and it comes with an accompanying documentation to describe exactly how to do this. And having done this and followed the step-by-step process, you would then only listen to what it is, to this recording every day. And through that, it guides you through imagining in the five senses, because the human brain operates in the five senses, imagining your goals. So not just visualizing, because that's, in a sense, visualizing doesn't work because you're only using the visual sense. And what we're trying to do when we, quote-unquote, visualize is we try to trick our mind into thinking that our imagined experience is as real as a real experience. And if you think about it right now, every single one of us on this call or listening to the show are all experiencing life not just with our visual sense but also with our ears. We're hearing my voice. And we can feel on our body the clothes against our skin, and we can probably experience the temperature of the room and feel the shoes on our feet, and we can taste perhaps the water we've just drunk, or in my case, the coffee, and we can probably smell our perfume or something. We're always experiencing life through the five senses. However, if you're trying to visualize with just one sense, your visual sense, it's not going to have enough of an impact to trick your mind into thinking it's a real experience. So what the CD does, it talks you through the five senses and imagining your goal in such a way that you include all five senses and you can't just drift off and fall asleep. Another thing people do when they visualize, a lot of the time my experience is that they drift off and fall asleep and then wonder why it's not working.
I feel rested, but I haven't gotten my goals.
Exactly. So it's really a mental workout for the brain. And if you go on the website and click on the product link, it'll tell you a lot more about it and you can go and have a look for yourself.
Okay. Oh, well, that's fabulous. Now, and this is something that any of us can do on our own. Now, there's a term that you use in some of your work called blueprinting. And I just wonder if you could explain a bit about that as we're kind of wrapping things up here.
Sure. Well, I learned this from Dr. Tony Quinn, who's the world's leading expert on the human mind and using it to create beneficial circumstances. And he taught me this process called blueprinting, and I spent $25,000 with him learning this process, and it's probably one of the most powerful processes I teach. And it's a one-on-one consultation that I do with people, and it lasts about 3 or 4 hours. It can be done face-to-face or over the telephone. And what I do with people is I take them through a process of, A, creating a really big, juicy goal for their lives. Most of us, the reason we don't have what we want is because we don't know what we want. Or we think we know what we want, but somehow it conflicts with our programming or our belief system somehow. Like a lot of people want money, but unconsciously they believe that they don't deserve any or that rich people are evil. So, of course, their unconscious mind says, well, I don't want to be evil. I'm not going to have money in my life, and pushes money away. So we work with people to uncover a really big, juicy goal for their life. And then I extract what I call the VACGO, which is an acronym for V-A-K-G-O, which really stands for Visual, Auditory, Kinesthetic, Gustatory, Olfactory, which is a very fancy way of just saying the five senses.
Yeah.
So we turn their goal into a five-sensory experience, and then what I do is I record them a blueprinting CD, which is a customized CD of me talking them through experiencing and reliving their goal moment by moment, blow by blow, exciting experience after exciting experience that they have delivered to, given to me. And I do this in such a way that it's engaging, it keeps your attention all the time, and it keeps you focused so that you can't drift off, can't fall asleep. And this becomes one of the most enjoyable things you could do every morning, is listen to a CD like this, where you're waking up in the morning and suddenly you're being guided through living your dream in such a way that it's so real for you, you get lost in it. And so that's what blueprinting is. It's the process of, in a sense, creating a blueprint for your life, just like a house comes from an architectural blueprint. Our life can be created from a blueprint. And that's
so
why we use the term blueprint. Say that again, Ken?
You're taking the benefits from the CD that we could buy, and you're customizing it for clients on an individual basis.
Exactly. Where the Relaxation for Manifestation is a generic CD you can plug any goal into, the blueprinting session I help you go through the same process that you go through in the Relaxation for Manifestation, but we do it over the telephone in a consulting session, then I create a customized CD or MP3 and email it to you or post it to you. Exactly.
Now, folks, you've got to go visit www.designer-life.com. That's designer-life.com. We have had the privilege today of spending time with Mr. Bruce Muzik, M-U-Z-I-K. Yes, it's a better
name. It is real, Kim.
And this is absolutely cutting edge. That takes the good advice that you'll get from the movie The Secret or other spiritual trainings or even from the Bible, and it gives you a practical way on a low budget. You can get the CD and practice that for more. If you want to make a bigger commitment, you can schedule a consultation with Bruce, and anywhere on the planet, you can get his help. This is incredible. Bruce, I am just honored and thrilled to get a chance to have you share this quality of information with my listeners. And certainly,
pleasure.
If you'll be around, I'd like to give you a call after the program and chat briefly with you, because we've got to wrap up for now.
You're more than welcome to, and I want to thank you. It's been a real privilege being on your show, and especially all the way from London. It's such a wonderful thing to know that I'm speaking to an audience in a foreign continent. It's quite trippy, actually. And so thank you, Ken. It's been a real treat, and thanks for asking me some great questions.
Oh, you're welcome. And dear listeners, wishing you a wonderful week and a wonderful new month coming up. And I just want to call forth God's blessing upon all of us and invite you to return again in September for Beverly Nadler, who will be a wonderful guest on the first time in September on Advanced Living Radio Program. Until then, blessings to you all. Thank you, and goodbye for now. Let go of